The first reading will also serve as the sermon text this morning, Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley which was full of bones. He had me pass through them and go all over among them. There were very many on the valley floor, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Son of man, can these dry bones live?" I answered, "Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I am about to make breath enter you so that you will live. I will attach tendons to you. I will put flesh back on you. I will cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you will live. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling, as the bones came together, one bone connecting to another. As I watched, tendons were attached to them. Then flesh grew over them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind that this is what the Lord God says. From the four winds, come, O wind, and breathe into these slain so that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me. Breath entered them, and they came back to life. They stood on their feet, a very, very large army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They are saying, 'Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we have been completely cut off.' Therefore, prophesy and say to them that this is what the Lord God says. My people, I am going to open your graves and raise you up from your graves and bring you back to the soil of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will settle you on your own land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Create in us a new heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Amen. I've been helping to coach track at Michigan Lutheran Seminary recently, and I've realized how bad I am at pep talks. I thought I would be good at this. I speak for a living. But nothing works. These kids come and they say, "Oh, I'm going to do terrible. Oh, I don't feel good." And I've tried it all. I've tried commiserating. "Yeah, it's tough." Or encouraging. "No, you can do it." Or contradicting. "You're not bad. You got first place." Nothing seems to work. When they're down, none of my words seem to be able to pick them up. Now try coming up with your own words to help someone who is down spiritually. And you can feel just as helpless. The people in Ezekiel's day had a mantra they were so down. It was their catchphrase. And they felt like they would never snap out of it. They were saying things like, "Our bones are dry, our hopes are dashed, our spirits are dead. Our bones are dry, our hopes are dashed, our spirits are dead." And it was understandable. Ezekiel was in Babylon, not in Israel. He was with exiles, people who weren't at home. Jerusalem had just finally been completely destroyed. God's beautiful temple had been reduced to rubble. Everybody these people knew was either dead or dispersed to the four corners of the earth. And so, yeah, they were spiritually down. And on top of that all, it was their fault for not listening to God, for rebelling against Him. Our bones are dry, our hopes are dashed, our spirits are dead. They were trapped. Trapped in fear and hopelessness, and they're not the only ones. The people in Ezekiel's day were not unique, because people still feel this way today. Maybe sometimes it feels like this is your mantra. I'm spent. I have no hope. What's tomorrow going to bring? I don't even want to face it. My spirit, I feel dead inside. Or you encounter people and you're trying to lift them up and you just can't. God knows. God didn't mince words when he talked about the people in Ezekiel's day. He said, yeah, those people, those bones are very dry. And he knows what we are like without him, and he knows how powerless human words are to fix it, but God's words aren't. And that's what you see on Pentecost, and that's what God shows us today in this vision that he gave Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37. He says, the Holy Spirit's words have power. Spoken to anyone, yeah, even people like that. What did God do for Ezekiel? It doesn't even say it's a vision. It's hard to understand. Was this an actual valley? But whatever happened, the hand of the Lord was on Ezekiel, and the Spirit whisks him away to this valley filled with bones. And it wasn't like a science room where you've got these skeletons nicely put together so you can see how the body works. No, they were just scattered everywhere. The thigh bone was not connected to the hip bone. They were everywhere. Bones on bones surrounding Ezekiel. He saw them. And they were very dry. Desiccated. No life. Not even slightly alive. And so the Lord shows these bones to Ezekiel and he says, can these bones live? To Ezekiel's credit, he doesn't immediately throw his hands up and say, no, they're bones and they're dry. But he doesn't exactly give a rousing response either. Lord, you can do anything. No. Well, God had done some resurrections in the Old Testament, but those had always been when people were freshly dead. This person just died, the body's just turned cold, but here, bones dry and scattered. And so Ezekiel, maybe in humility, maybe in a little bit of uncertainty, but also a little faith, responds to the Lord, Lord, you know. The Lord knew. But of course, the Lord didn't just want himself to know. He wanted Ezekiel to know. He wants you to know what he can do when the bones are dry, when the spirit is dead. And so he tells Ezekiel this. He's speaking in the first person, this prophet. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Prophesy, that is, take words that God gives you and speak them. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I am about to make breath enter you so that you will live. I will attach tendons to you. I will put flesh back on you. I will cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you will live. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel does it. Okay, that's the words God said to say. I'll say those words. And he started prophesying to these bones. God is going to attach tendons to you, put flesh on you, put skin on you. And lo and behold, as he's prophesying, they start to hear it. It says he heard a sound, the dry bones rattling. They start coming together, drawing close to each other. Oh my goodness, the song is happening. The thigh bone is connected to the hip bone. They're moving together. Soon they're covered with tendons and muscles and flesh. But then it stops. And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's a bunch of bodies. We've made progress, but they're all still lying there and they're all still dead. So, there was no breath in them. Ah. We had the bones, we got the tendons, we got the muscles, we got the organs, we got the flesh. But they don't have the breath yet. And that's the most important part, isn't it? This is what the people of Ezekiel felt like. Well, sure, we have skin and bones, we have bodies, but we're dead inside. And sometimes that's how we feel too. That's what we are like before God brings us to faith, spiritually dead. And sometimes even in our Christian lives, feels like the sparkle's out of your eyes. I just found out this last week that that's maybe how you can tell if artificial intelligence has generated a picture of a human being. You know, AI is all the rage now. You tell AI, make me a picture of someone, and it will do it. So how can you tell if it's a real person or a fake person? Well, some people say, look at the eyes. You can tell so much about a person from the eyes. They're called a window to the soul, right? And when you look at those artificial intelligence drawings, at least not yet, it's not able to create soul. It's not able to create something that looks like life. It's an artificial life. You know God didn't design you for that kind of life. To be walking through life, going through the motions, but there's nothing there on the inside. No spark in the eyes, no life, no soul, no vigor. No. What did God do when he made Adam in the beginning? He just made him like that, but he was just mud. He was nothing until God breathed into him and he became alive, walking around in the garden, walking with God. And that's what God can do. What our words can't, God's words can. And so God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind, wind, spirit, life, breath. Prophesy to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind that this is what the Lord God says. From the four winds, come, O wind, and breathe into these slain so that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Breath entered them, and they came back to life. It's like Ezekiel's going back and forth among the bodies. He's doing it again and again. Come, O wind. Come, O spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle in them the fire of your love. And the bodies come to life and come alive and stand up, and they are alive. A very, very great and vast army, all recreated, revived by the word of the Lord. No longer dry and dashed and dead, but alive and restored and revived because of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit that he gave to them through the Word of God. God explains what this is all about. Right after this, verses 11 through 14, he says, Ezekiel, what am I talking about? He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They are saying, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we've been completely cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them that this is what the Lord God says. My people, I am going to open your graves and raise you up from your graves and bring you back to the soil of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you on your own land. And you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken. I, the Lord, have done it. He did it. What human words never could. What did he do for these people whose hopes were destroyed? He said, I'll bring you back. Like God does in the Old Testament often, he uses these earthly pictures, these earthly Old Testament realities, to show spiritual truths, spiritual realities. And he says, I'm going to raise you up, bring you from spiritual death to life, and I'm going to bring you home from exile, all of you. I'll bring you all back. This is what God has done for us. He has spoken. He has done it. Brought us from death to life through his words. Brought us from exile apart from God back to him. We're home through faith in Jesus. You see this happen after Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus' disciples, what are they doing? Their bones are dry, their hopes are dashed, their spirits are dead, they're hiding in an upper room, it's over. And Jesus shows up and he says, peace be with you. the living, resurrected Lord who died for them and rose for them. Peace be with you. And it changes everything. Their bones are alive. Their hopes are restored. Jesus has done this for you. Peace be with you. He brings you to life. The bones that have been crushed by sin are now rejoicing in what Jesus has done. My hopes are dashed. Peace be with you. God gives you a hope and a future. My spirit is dead. God breathes new life into you through the means of grace, alive. Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He does it through his words again and again. What human words could never do, God's words can. Spoken to anyone, no matter how dry and dead it seems to be, and really spoken by anyone. Who's speaking in Ezekiel 37? It's not God, first of all. Who speaks to the bones? Ezekiel. And what does God call him? Prophesy, son of man. Not the title Jesus used for himself in the New Testament, no. Prophesy, son of man, that is prophesy, human. Prophesy, human guy, as opposed to God. You, human, yes, you little human, you who sometimes yourself are trapped in fear and hopelessness. Say these words, go ahead, say them, prophesy. And a lowly son of man speaks, and miracles happen. Ezekiel's no better than you. It's not like he was the best prophet ever. It's not like he's the smartest person on earth. I mean, you see that in the first question God asks him. Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, Lord, you know. And that's us sometimes. We're looking around going, I don't know what's going on. And God says, good. You. Yeah, I'm going to pick you. You, son of man. You, human. Say these words. Speak the word of the Lord given to you in the Bible. Speak this, and the words bring life. So speak. In 1988, there was a man named Michael Pistorius who started to become sick. He wasn't really a man yet. He was 12 years old, and he started to lose his faculties. He couldn't move his arms and legs the way he wanted. And after 4 years, just 16 years old, he was confined to a wheelchair, head tilted, mouth drooling, and the doctors said, we think he's a vegetable. There's nothing going on there. Take him home, parents, and wait for him to die. And so they took him home in a wheelchair, and they fed him, and they washed him, but he didn't die. For years, this went on. And they thought, nothing's in there. So much so that they didn't really talk to him anymore. They talked just about him as they were around. But he was there. Trapped the whole time. He said it was like living like a ghost. He was there, but they didn't see him. So much so that his mom didn't know he was listening when she looked at him in a moment of frustration and said, I wish you had died. Those words were strong. He tried to live up to those words. He wanted to die. He couldn't do anything about it. He withdrew inside himself to the darkest place he could find and waited until someone, really, and anyone and anybody, a caretaker, started talking to him. A woman named Verna became his caretaker, and instead of speaking about him, she spoke to him about what was going on in her day. But more than that, 6 months after she started taking care of him, she heard about this device that could let mute people communicate, an electronic device. And so she spoke to him. She said, Michael, you could use that, couldn't you? I know you could. And he heard those words and he tried to nod his head, he tried to blink anything. And months later, they got him signed up for a test. And she came to him again, and she said, Michael, please tell me you'll do your best. I know you can. And so he went to that meeting and they hooked him up to the machine. And he was going to do his best. He was going to live up to those words. And they said, Michael, move this cursor from there to there. And he worked and he tried. And it moved. Move it, move it, move it. There. And they realized he was alive. And they kept speaking to him. And they kept working with him. And over the next years, he got more and more capable. Yes, he's still mute, but he began to be able to type on a keyboard, express everything that he had been thinking. And what about Michael now? Well, he wrote a book about his experience. He started a company. He graduated from college, and he's happily married. All because a few words spoken to him gave him life again. Who can you speak to? Well, we're nothing special. We're somebody's. We're anybody's. But there are people in your life that you run into, just like Verna happened to run into Michael. And you have words even better than the words she spoke to him. You have Jesus' words that are spirit and that are life. So speak. Because there are no bones so dry that God can't bring them back to life. No body so scattered that God can't put it back together. Speak. And you will know, and they will know, that the Lord is God. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.